for some of the entertainment institutions. You talk about Jolly Roger. Well, Jolly Roger is personified in every other business in Ocean City. And I'm not arguing with you about Six Flags or any of the other amusement facilities. I completely concur with the whole concept that there are institutions and there are segments of our industry that need to be protected. I'm just talking about this one particular segment of industry, and that you would, if you would carve that out corporately and look at Ocean City as a different animal. It is different down there because it is completely seasonal. Yes, we have some year-round employment down there, but I'm not talking about those folks. I'm talking about the folks that are down there seasonally, Mr. Chair. Those are the people I'm trying to protect. And it's not so much about competition as it is about creating an atmosphere where people can still afford to come and the employers can still afford to keep people there, not have to make tough decisions about cutting back or deciding that they have to hire a Russian kid over an American kid because of the cost. That's what I'm talking about.
So you're asserting an increase in the minimum wage would cause people to not to go to Ocean City for annual summer vacations.
I'm telling you that you're driving up costs for business in areas that are around us that are not doing the same thing. We've seen this in Maryland, in other areas. I mean, how much do you have to drive it up before people will elect to go somewhere else? If the costs have to rise to cover the costs, because it's not just going to be the people at the bottom, it's going to be the people at the top. If those costs have to rise in general down at the beach, people are going to look to go spend. If they can get an apartment or a location, a condo, in a place a little bit cheaper because those folks didn't have to raise their costs, it's going to have an effect on our industry. And I'm talking about trying to help you. It's the revenues from Ocean City that honestly pave a lot of roads in Baltimore City. It's the revenue from Ocean City that does a lot in this state to help us move forward. We're not keeping that down there at the beach. You all share in that. A lot of people in this place have property down there yourselves.
We all share, and I think all the revenues that are generated in the state. I don't think it's fair or even accurate to single out one jurisdiction as essentially funding another jurisdiction, but that's a discussion for another matter. I guess all I can say is this, and we'll have to agree to disagree. In the particular instance, I don't see where demand is exceeding supply. It seems to be an abundance of workers. And obviously, if they're still hiring, you're not. What I didn't hear in your statement was that they're not hiring because they can't afford these workers. It sounds like that they're in desperate need of workers, which is why they're getting foreign workers, is what it sounds like to me. At some point, there has to come a time where we do have to take care of the worker. Obviously, we've tried, and I think your colleagues will tell you, we tried in this bill to be as fair as we could, as much as we could, but at some point in time, we have to have that same concern that we have for the small business. We have to have it for the employee as well.
Well, it would appear, Mr. Chair, that we're exercising some degree of blindness as it relates to certain sectors, because if you can see it for a sector like Six Flags, if you can see it for something like Jolly Roger, if you can capture vision for how that impacts that industry, I'm looking and thinking of a little bit broader picture and saying, can you not see how that impacts an entire region that's subject to seasonal employment like Ocean City proper is? I'm not talking about Worcester County. I'm talking about a 10-mile strip of sand that is our entertainment place for summer enjoyment in the state of Maryland.
So are you saying then, if I can interpret correctly, that if we pass this amendment, you can vote for the bill?
I'll tell you what, Mr. Chair. You know what? I'm not going to make you commitments on you doing the right thing. I shouldn't have to vote
thing. I guess my point is, if you don't like the bill, then the correct...
So in other words, if I go along with you and you extort a vote out of me because you do the
right
thing...
I don't need your vote. I think it'll pass without you.
Yeah, you know what? That's the point.
Okay, on the amendment.
Mr. Speaker?
That's the point. This is about doing the right thing. This isn't about...
That's an opinion what the right thing is. That's your opinion.
Apparently, Mr. Chair, you agree that it's the right thing in some instances.
Let's find out what everybody else thinks.
Okay. Mr. Speaker? On the amendment,
Mr. Speaker, on the amendment, we've heard and we understand we're going to disagree on this particular issue. But this isn't about carving out sides. If you can see it for one, then you have to be blind in one eye not to see it in the other. We're not racehorses here with blinders on. We've got to take the blinders off and look at the whole picture and where this impacts. And, you know, I don't think it should be about whether or not I vote for this bill or vote for another bill, you know, next week or 2 weeks from now. It's about doing the right thing on this bill and making it work. I certainly can't vote for it if it's going to be a blinded bill that favors one and over another. It makes no sense. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Speaker.